Meta Practice V1. Chapter 8. Truthful Care. Chapter 8. Truthful Care. Once people hear the phrase universal love, they often make one of two mistakes. Some imagine something soft, permissive, and indiscriminate. A warm glow. A refusal to judge. A policy of endless understanding. A gentle atmosphere with no sharp edges. Others react against that image and assume love must therefore be naive, fine for poetry, dangerous for leadership. Appealing in private, but incompatible with boundaries, standards, justice, or difficult truth. Both mistakes come from the same confusion. They imagine love and truth as opposing forces. As though one comforts and the other corrects. As though one includes and the other discriminates. As though love makes life humane while truth makes it real. But the kind of love this book is pointing toward cannot afford to become sentimental. If it cannot tell the truth, it cannot protect reality. If it cannot make distinctions, it cannot preserve dignity. If it cannot say no, it cannot defend what belongs inside care. Universal love, practiced seriously, becomes truthful care. That phrase prevents two common collapses at once. Truth without care hardens into cruelty, superiority, or moral theater. Care without truth softens into enabling, vagueness, or elegant dishonesty. A whole life needs both not balanced against each other like hostile powers, but integrated as one way of being. Why people split truth and love? Many of us learned early that truth and love do not arrive together. Truth arrived as criticism, exposure, humiliation, or withdrawal of affection. Love arrived as comfort, protection, loyalty, or emotional warmth, but often at the price of silence. So people build their adult character around one side of the split. Some become truth people. They pride themselves on realism, bluntness, standards, and saying what others are too weak to say. Often this contains courage. Often it also contains armor. Others become care people. They pride themselves on empathy, gentleness, tolerance, and keeping relationships intact. Often this contains tenderness. Often it also contains fear. The first group may tell themselves they are just being honest when they are actually discharging aggression. The second group may tell themselves they are being kind when they are actually avoiding difficulty. Neither pattern is whole. A truth that needs to wound in order to feel strong is already distorted. A care that cannot withstand honesty is already unstable. Truthful care refuses this division. It asks a harder question: what would it look like to tell the truth in a way that protects dignity rather than feeding on its violation? Love is not the suspension of discernment. One reason people fear universal love is that they imagine it abolishes discernment. If I love everyone, do I have to trust everyone? Approve of everything? Treat every motive as equally clean? Remain available to harm? Of course not. That would not be love. It would be confusion. Love is not the refusal to distinguish. It is the refusal to dehumanize while distinguishing. You can recognize deception without hatred. You can confront exploitation without sadism. You can set a boundary without denying shared humanity. You can leave what is destructive without turning contempt into your religion. This is harder than either indulgence or hostility. Hostility gives the ego a clear emotional reward. Indulgence gives the nervous system a way to avoid conflict. Truthful care satisfies neither impulse fully. It asks for clarity without domination, firmness without self-righteousness, mercy without self-betrayal. Honesty versus discharge. People often celebrate candor without examining its quality. I'm just being honest has become one of the most socially acceptable disguises for undisciplined aggression. But honesty is not defined only by whether the content is factually defensible. It is also shaped by timing, posture, aim, and field. Why am I saying this now? What am I hoping happens in the other person when I say it? Am I trying to clarify reality, or to transfer discomfort? Am I serving truth, or enjoying my permission to wound? Many acts of supposed truth-telling are really acts of discharge. The person is irritated, threatened, embarrassed, or morally activated. They want release. They then recruit truth as a moral cover for emotional dumping. Truthful care disciplines the impulse. It does not ask, "Can I justify saying this?" It asks, what form of truth best serves reality without abandoning dignity? That can still be sharp. It can still be costly. It can still make someone angry. But it is not animated by the pleasure of diminishment. Kindness versus evasion. Care also has its distortions. A great deal of what gets called compassion is simply reluctance to disturb the emotional field. The person does not want to disappoint. They do not want to trigger defensiveness. So they withhold needed truth and call the withholding empathy. This is common in friendships, teams, families, and intimate relationships. Someone's behavior is clearly harming the situation. Everyone senses it. No one says it cleanly. The silence gets renamed patience. But patient silence is not always loving. Sometimes it is complicity dressed in soft language. Sometimes it allows a person to continue shrinking themselves, hurting others, or living inside a distortion no one is willing to interrupt. There is a selfish version of niceness that protects the nice person's self-image while abandoning the other person to unreality. That is not kindness. That is image management in relational clothing. Truthful care is willing to risk friction for the sake of a more real form of love. It knows that an undisturbed relationship is not always an honest one. It knows that harmony purchased through silence is often fragile, because reality has merely been deferred. What truthful care looks like in practice. Truthful care is easier to admire abstractly than to practice concretely. Some examples of the form: I love you, and I think you're lying to yourself about what this is costing you. I understand why you're angry, but the way you're expressing it is hurting people. No, I can't agree to that. It wouldn't be good for either of us. You may be right about the facts, but the way you're speaking right now is corrosive. I need distance from this pattern. That does not mean I want your diminishment. What happened to you matters. What you do from here still matters too. Notice what these have in common. They do not collapse truth into soothing. They also do not collapse strength into contempt. They preserve multiple realities at once: the person's dignity, the seriousness of the issue, the legitimacy of boundaries, the possibility of responsibility, the refusal of dehumanization. That ability to hold more than one thing at once is part of what makes love rigorous. Boundaries are a form of love. People raised on sentimental moral language often hear boundaries as a retreat from love. In reality, healthy boundaries are often one of love's most necessary expressions. A boundary says, "This matters, this has a shape, this cannot continue like this, I will not cooperate with what harms, I will not make the field more false in order to keep it more comfortable." That can apply to time, money, speech, emotional access, physical safety, responsibility, role clarity, and expectations. Without boundaries, care loses structure. Without structure, love becomes easy to exploit. And once love becomes exploitable, people begin confusing love itself with weakness. A real boundary isn't a revenge performance, a theatrical punishment, or a covert bid for moral superiority. It is a truthful shape placed around what care can and cannot participate in. Justice without hatred. The same principle applies beyond personal life. Universal love does not require political passivity, institutional naivete, or moral vagueness. Structures can be unjust. Power can be abusive. Groups can be exploited, lied to, and systematically diminished. Any serious philosophy has to leave room for resistance. But resistance can itself become fragmenting when hatred starts masquerading as clarity. Hatred has a narrowing effect. It reduces persons to enemies, complexity to slogans, and moral life to permission for reciprocal dehumanization. Sometimes that narrowing feels energizing because it compresses ambiguity. But it also corrupts the field it claims to defend. Truthful care allows for forceful opposition. It allows naming lies, blocking harm, removing power, enforcing consequences, and refusing false peace. What it refuses is the spiritual intoxication of despising people as a substitute for repairing the world. This does not make action weaker. Often it makes action cleaner and more sustainable. A movement fueled only by contempt eventually deforms itself. A person fueled only by outrage eventually becomes governed by the very fragmentation they claim to resist. Love is not the enemy of justice. Love is what keeps justice from becoming another theater of domination. The inner sequence under pressure. Most people can approximate truthful care when stakes are low. The real test comes under pressure. When you are embarrassed. When you are exhausted. When someone has misrepresented you. When money is involved. When betrayal is real. When the person in front of you is not easy to love. Under pressure, smaller lenses offer immediate relief. Contempt feels clarifying. Withdrawal feels safe. Aggression feels strong. Avoidance feels peaceful. Truthful care often feels slower and less emotionally rewarding in the moment. A useful sequence in hard moments. Notice the contraction. What smaller lens just came online? Self-protection, superiority, resentment, avoidance, image? Widen the field. Who and what must be included here for the picture to become more true? Self, other, and whole. Tell the truth cleanly. What actually needs to be said, named, refused, or acknowledged? Protect dignity while acting. How can the action remain clear without feeding on humiliation, vagueness, or false softness? Release the fantasy of perfect control. Truthful care does not guarantee a good reception. You are responsible for the quality of your action, not for total control of the outcome. This is not a script. It is a way of preserving wholeness when life invites fragmentation. Combined with the 30-second reset from Chapter 7, it is enough to handle most of the difficult moments most of us face most of the time. A working definition. Love worthy of organizing a life must be able to do all of the following at once. Include without collapsing discernment. Confront without dehumanizing. Protect without hardening. Forgive without erasing consequence. Remain open without becoming naive. Remain truthful without becoming cruel. That is a demanding standard. It is also what makes the philosophy credible. Without truthful care, universal love becomes a slogan. With truthful care, it becomes a disciplined way of moving through reality.